Well, at 6:30, I'll declare the meeting open. We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present. I let everyone know that the audio of the General Council meeting will be recorded, will be made available on the City of Marion website. And presently we're streaming. Just checking the staff. Yes, we are, for those who are watching from home. Do any elected members have an item on the agenda that they foresee a potential conflict of interest? I know Councillor Sherrin has mentioned to me the petrol station motion, so we'll come to that. Councillor Telkom.
I'm not going to leave the room, but declare my position, and Westminster.
Yes, understood. Anything others? We'll just keep moving along, staff can make note of that. Would someone like to move that we accept the communications reports? Move Councillor Seeker, second Councillor Duncan, those in favour. Unanimously, thank you. We go straight to the petition on page 26 regarding the reserve in Trot Park. The petition is dealt with in the usual way. We note the petition and respond to the petitioner. Would someone like, Councillor Duncan, would like to move that we...
Yeah, I'd like to move this written.
Yes.
Just to note it. Because I feel that the reserve is too small, it would cause more family with children running around with a lot of stuff. Things in that reserve would be at risk, and parking is an optional problem already. So it will just increase the problem from the end.
Thank you for the information. Is that seconded? Councillor Sherrin.
I echo Councillor Duncan's comments.
There's no more debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we come to committee recommendations. Any action items will come up later. This is just to confirm the minutes. These could be moved on block. The urban planning and special review and selection committee meeting. Councillor Schilling. Yes. And Councillor Crossland seconding. Those in favour? Sorry, was there a question? Big pardon. Councillor Hull.
Just a comment in regards to the urban planning, the warrant our attention characters in the
please go ahead.
The warrant our attention characters in I understand that the residents are planning to do their own survey. Come back to council.
Oh, thank you. There has been some email correspondence about that. I'm probably aware of that. But thanks for raising the or giving us that information. I think then I can move that motion that's been moved and seconded. We receive the minutes. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's unanimous. Thanks. And the confirmation of the council. The General Council meeting held on the 25th of August. So I'm going to move Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Duncan. Confirming those minutes, all those in favour. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now that brings us up to confidential items on the agenda, but as with previous meetings, I've been advised it's easier technologically since we have some people offline. And the balance of the elected members present, it's easier to deal with that after the rest of the business. So we'll continue with that practice. If I have leave of the meeting, no objections, we'll deal with the confidential items later. And that leave is granted to do that. Therefore, we can go straight to corporate reports for decision, beginning on page 50. The first one, the grant for food waste recycling program, page 50. some Councillor Clancy's move.
I think this is a fantastic opportunity. I think this is a principal in the grown-up fashion.
We'll say that's the whole seconded.
I agree. I think I've talked this down today. The other really important aspect of this is the prospect that the actual enclosures, the inserts for the cabbage will be free going forward if it's grass successful. And I think that will tidy up a point of difference between us and Whole Grass Bay. They're providing those insert bags for free for some time now.
Councillor Shillen.
A couple of questions first. First question is, if we aren't successful, is there a way that we can do this without the grant?
A very simple answer, there always is, but it would obviously be coming back to council for a budget question.
But yeah, I should be there anyway. So if we're not successful, can we have a report and a motion come back to council?
My recommendation from a government's point of view would be see how this goes,
yeah,
and then I'm sure administration can have those comments on board informally. Yeah. Mr. Haridis, do you want to add something to that?
No, I agree with that. Another question. Currently, we're in an opt-in process. How do you opt in if you can't get to the council chambers for the K35?
Who would like to answer that from the start? So with our current plastic kitchen caddies, which are free to members of the community, Ms. Byrne could help us answer that.
Through the chair, sorry.
So the current program is an opt-in program to collect caddies off council chamber so that they have the building between office hours. What if they can't get to the chamber in office hours? How can they opt in?
For the current program, so well, the current program is limited to an opt-in basis through customer service centre for kitchen care containers. The compostable liners, we make them available but at a small fee through a variety of centres, but because we register them, it's best handled through the customer service centre here. So,
Ms. Byrne, the important question was if somebody works full time,
yes,
how are they going to pick up their caddy? We don't deliver them, do we?
That's right, I'm delighted.
They could get a friend or relative perhaps to come and pick one up.
And that's been what people have done.
Okay.
And I also might have them as well, please.
Perhaps that's a suggestion that could be worked through administratively, perhaps. Or Ms. Byrne, you have some information on the spot about that?
Well, if those are small additions that would make the opt in program slightly more available, but to get the level of food waste conversion we're looking for, we really need a much broader.
Thank you. Any other questions before we, Councillor Gillespie?
Oh, thank you. My question is, how are we going to get the bags to people after we initially deliver the caddy? What's the process for that? And the extra bags?
And assuming this goes through, how are people going to get their bags and caddies?
Through the chair. So at this stage, thinking is to provide them once a year at around the time that people would be looking for them and to make them available. Because there's no administration, they're free to give away. We can make them available from the customer service centre, from libraries, from neighbourhood centres, from any council facility for them to collect.
Thank you, Councillor Blescu.
Just to follow up on that, would we be looking at a limit to how many people could grab every year?
Through the chair, yes, we would. So the rolls of bags come in a one-year supply package. Now, some residents may use them more quickly, but we can adopt our current model of providing them a cost price by having extra ones available for residents who would like to get more than that, if that's what their household would use more of, to be able to meet their own needs if it's outside of the standard average, which other councils have found through their experience.
To monitor that, you'd need to take people's names as they collected their caddies. So there's an administrative layer there. Councillor Hull, did you have a question? No. It's been moved and seconded. then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So thanks, Ms. Byrne. We'll move on to page 60, program for sports in reserves. Councillor Crossland was, I think, the one who first suggested this based on the Raja model.
Oh, no, I'd like to thank Councillor Ulescu for highlighting how great this program has been. And I'm really pleased that we get the opportunity to roll it out and try it in other areas. So, yeah, my full support for this one.
So, seconded. Councillor Clancy, wish to speak? Any opposition? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we go to Neighbourhood Centres Extended Hours. On this one, I just want to point out that I think it's about November that we have a forum item where we have a briefing on the Neighbourhood Centre review. And this is one of the recommendations arising from the review. So it's up to members whether you want to deal with that now or later. Councillor Crossland?
I'd like to move this item to be deferred after the forum because there's a lot of questions and they're not really for this forum.
Perhaps to defer to the December meeting?
Yes, please.
Is that seconded? Councillor Clancy? It's procedural, so I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour? All those against, raise your hand. That's carried.
Division,
a division is called, so this is the formal vote where you record how people have voted. So those in favour of deferring to December, I won't ask you to stand since we've got some members offline. Just put your hand up again, please. I've got Councillor Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Masika, Councillor Mason, Councillor Clancy, Councillor Pryor, Councillor Telfer, Councillor Crossland. Those of you who are against, please raise your hand. So they are Councillors Valescu, Hull, Schilling and Duncan. So the motion is carried, so we'll come back to that in December. Thank you. We'll move on to the next item, the draft City of Marion Art Culture Heritage Asset Management Plan. This is not for final approval, but for this draft to go out to community consultation. And I'm glad to say this is one where we've had plenty of discussion in an informal briefing. Who would like to, Councillor Telfer, to move? Any comment?
We have looked at this. It's very valuable to have all our assets in this whole area known and budgeted for. And it has been done quite tightly, as I've found out. So I'm quite pleased to bring this forward.
Is that seconded? Councillor Mason? Nothing, no comment? Then anyone speaking against? I'll put the motion then. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimous. Councillor Hutchinson? Yes, sorry, a bit of a delay in the transmission there. Carried unanimously. So we'll go on to the draft of Disability Action and Inclusion Plan. Again, we spent some time on this to refine it. It's certainly been trimmed down and ready to go. Who would like to move accordingly? Councillor Clancy.
This and thank you, staff, for taking on board our comments and suggestions and coming up with a great plan.
Well said. Councillor Seeker, seconding?
Yes, Your Worship, I'd like to second the motion. It is right for the council to have more disability action plan, access and action plan, because it will ensure that all people living with disabilities, they can access the services from the council and they can access all the facilities within the council area.
Thank you. Question?
Just a question. Thank you, Your Worship. It's more around, yet again, a bit of a bugbear of mine. We've got a report based on a consultation of one resident, only one registered voter. We get a big report on their survey, 33 unknown anonymous people, which may or may not even be in the City of Marion. My question to staff is, are we actually doing anything to try and get some better consultation results? Because a report with only one real person that we can identify in that survey is sort of not helpful.
Who can answer that?
Through the chair, I'll commence answering that, that question. Yes, we are. That feedback we receive, obviously, through various engagements. And a lot of activity has been one focused on how we capture residents so that we know that we're dealing with residents and not just users and what that difference is. So that's some effort that the community engagement team is putting to these surveys. Secondly, whilst we do hit multiple streams and have taken feedback about also special groups that we're aware of that we could be going to dependent on the topic, increasing the visibility of our surveys versus then the willingness for the surveys to be entered is obviously energy that we're continuing to put. I think we'll find that we'll get great improvements in some areas and unfortunately in some, that the results are what they are, but we're not just rolling out the same process again as we've done previously, looking to enhance that each time.
Well, if I could just echo the question, the reference was made there, Mr. Huidas, to the results. It's not about the survey results so much the questions that are put. So I thought we discussed a year or more ago about having questions about the suburb that the person lives in, for example, or in a really local issue, even the street that they live in. So it's not identifying, but it helps us give weight to the answers. And from the results, it's not clear to me that was done in this case. So maybe it's a matter of getting the message out through the organisation. Just to leave you to take that on board.
I think when we do anonymous, when we receive anonymous comments, they're likely to be people outside the city or not even real people that are doing multiple entries. I do like the registered where we do know where people live, we know who they are, where residents, and they put a lot more weight into those views. Without it, it sort of doesn't give me any indication of where we need to pick up in places.
Points well made. Any further comments in the debate? Then Councillor Hall.
I'm sure the point that Councillor Cosman made is that by having only one respondent doesn't necessarily mean the City of Marion is doing this well. And I think, it surprises me that you see people in the disability area have been notable advocates in the past. We've had a number of very strong ones in Marion Council, particularly with visually impaired people. And it surprises me that there's only one. And I hear Mr. Caridis about being approaching those key groups, but I really don't know what the answer is, but whether it be this item or the previous item, in other items where we're going out for consultation, I think Councillor Crossan is right that getting one respondent out of nearly 90,000 people is odd.
Well, we did listen to them at least. Any other comments? Then I think I can just put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we go on to the Travers Street Reserve issue, revoking community land classification. This issue has been around for two or three years, hasn't it? So we've moved very slowly and cautiously in a land, sort of a land swap in a way, to in an effort to have a better reserve for the land that we have. Councillor Tilford.
I'll move as written. The ward councillors have been across this for nearly 10 years, and this is an orderly process by which the whole block has to be revoked, and then immediately the actual Travers Street Reserve is reinstated, and we will move forward. One more step.
One more step. Thank you, Councillor Felper. Second, Councillor Hutchinson. Do you wish to add something, Councillor? Then, speaking against, Councillor Hall.
As I have done for 10 years, Mr. Mayor, I don't support this during public consultation that where residents post look, and not surprisingly. And a lot of it focused around the trip. And in the report on page 124, it refers to the trip. There is a regulated tree on land proposed for disposal. Two development applications for the removal of the regulated tree have been refused under the Development Act of 1993. And this is the claim. Under the current development legislation, the tree can be removed without development approval if the dwelling is constructed within 10 metres of the trunk. So what do you think the chances are for this trip? 10 metres, that's 30 feet or more. That's the case in question. If you read the small print, you'll see that the surety about the tree being saved is simply not there. And we do this. We actually have these regulated trees and we allow buildings to be built either underneath them or near, and then the residents complain about the limbs falling and the tree goes. So our initial objection to the tree being removed is fickle and not sincere in terms of our green image of saving trees. And this is a case in question.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? As we alternate between for and against. If there are no other speakers, we'll just go. Again, Councillor Bilescu is in favour of the motion. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I'll speak in support of the motion, but I wanted to clarify some of the comments that were just made in regards to our intentions for the trees. So, yeah, the comments that Councillor Hull has made, is anyone able to clarify that it is indeed the case what he has said?
Well, I notice Councillor Hull began by quoting from the report about the significant tree and refusal of development applications. What further can be provided from staff? Mr. Della Coombs.
Thank you, Chair. I'll have to check the specific positions, but I haven't got any at this time. However, it's generally the case that where trees are proximate to dwelling, they are able to be removed. It's generally the case.
Well, the report is a bit more precise. It actually discloses the regulation that if a tree is within 10 metres of the dwelling, then it can be removed. And we are anticipating, are we not, that with the reconfiguration of the reserve and adjacent housing, that there may well be a dwelling built within 10 metres of the tree. Is that, and that's the thrust of the question, is that right, Mr. Della Coombs?
Sorry, Chair, I haven't had a chance to read this report, so I'm not able to provide an answer to that.
Mr. Hurries, who would be best placed to answer that?
Ms. Vial Tinetti has been across the issue, but it is fair to assume that given the intention to release, to revocate the land for purposes of creating a land parcel, could likely result in a dwelling being proposed and being within that, within the 10 metre parameter, but that would need to be tested in the real world when that opportunity comes. There's no deliberate plan at the moment for any development proposal.
Right. So, Councillor Bilescu, does that answer your question?
It's more so the assumption that, like, are we promoting this sort of thing, or is this just something that happens on occasion, or just?
Well, I can certainly say this sort of reconfiguration of a reserve where there's effectively a rearrangement of boundaries between the reserve and adjacent housing is highly unusual. And I've never heard of any deliberate intent to allow removal of the tree, but as the report indicates and Councillor Hull has highlighted, it becomes a significant possibility once, if and when this motion's passed.
Thank you.
Councillor Pryor.
Just a question about how close to a significant tree someone can build it. If you know that answer.
I don't have that answer on me.
Right, that's a bit dead end. Plain and commissar. But because he can't be expected to have all of the legislation with him. Now, were there any other questions? Otherwise, I'll go back to Councillor Telfer to close the debate. Right, Councillor Telfer.
Council over 10 years has been through this process of the land swap with the Housing Trust. Maybe Council got the worst deal, but the Housing Trust got a section that's orderly, and now we are going to get a section that is orderly, and the reserve is going to be tidied up and have good safety sightlines, and it wouldn't have with a dog leg in it. But over and above that, the actual block, the 679 square metres, that was originally looked at as two blocks, two housing blocks. And there were lots of different ways of looking at hammerheads and all sorts. But that block is 679 square metres, and as you know, that gives ample room for anybody to build a house on the other 300 square metres and stay away from the tree. And there are tree lovers that will be pleased to own that block, a larger block that gives them some sense of ambience. There are people out there that would look for that, as we've been told. So we look forward to this next step, and we think it's orderly.
Thank you. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That is carried.
Division
is called. So once again, formally note to make people vote. I'll ask those in favour to raise their hands again. And we've got Councillor Hutchinson, Masika, Clancy, Pryor, Telfer, Schilling, Duncan and Crossland.
And
Valescu. Those against, please raise your hand. Those Councillors Mason and Hull. So the motion is carried. Thank you. We'll go on to the next.
Chair, if you would like to know the answer,
yes, well,
came to me moments after the time had passed.
Yes, please go ahead, Mr. Gilbert.
If any application for a dwelling near a significant tree occurs, we ask the applicant to provide us with a report from a suitable qualified arborist that would essentially determine the tree protection zone, and be different in each case, basically, is the word that's what I'm going to call it, so it's different in each case.
Is there a rough rule of thumb that's under the foliage of the tree?
Yeah, that's the rough guide.
Thank you. So you may want to stay on, Mr. Delacombs, for the next item, because there may be some questions, I don't know. Page 128 of the dog bylaw. Review. I think this is one where just ask for any questions initially. One thing I wanted to highlight is that there was some email traffic prior to the meeting about who and what, I better rephrase that, about who should be the author of any letter to residents, and also the language of the letter. A couple of us weren't happy with the, let's say, the style. An option is to have the mayor write the letter. It's also an option to adopt the letter that is attached as a draft. It's up to members, but just be aware that if you do want a letter that's in a different form, it would be perhaps a slight amendment to the recommended wording. All right. Any specific questions? Councillor Valescu first, and then Councillor Holm.
Thank you, Your Worship. Two questions. First of all, in regards to that point, I was looking, is there an option to have the mayor and the CEO draft the letter? I'm not too fussed as to who it's from, but I'd like administration input as well as, well, the elected member input as well as administration input. And my second question is, can we go back to when this started? Because my concern is that if this is passed and some people have their fees refunded, then we may create a new level of anxiety, community disquiet about people that had to pay the fee after the geospatial tool came into practice.
Who can answer that? Mr. Gary Coombs.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the question, Councillor. Staff are aware of Council's expectations in the letter, and I think, to be fair, the recommendation is that Council would send a letter, and our probably misinterpretation in the draft letter that's attached is addressed from staff. So we plan to work with the Mayor to send essentially a redraft of that letter in a more apologetic tone for those who were affected, and follow up with a separate email that would be from administration that would be more regards into the process side of it that would also be redrafted to a better customer satisfaction standard. So there'd be essentially two letters that would go, would be my suggestion. And secondly, to the point, I think we established that since 2018, specifically the 1st of July 2018 is when the Dog and Cat Management, Dog and Cat Online system was created, that enabled Council to have a more proactive approach to pursuing these applications. And so that's the date that Councillor Phyllis was referring to. And that would be approximately 240 applications to that date, for a total of about $8,521 for Council's information.
Right, now Wilson, let's just deal with a couple of the factual questions, not opinions. Councillor Hull.
I noticed that in the recommendation it mentions all cats. Now, as far as I know, cats don't require registration, even though I think they should be. So are there cat owners caught up in this? And if there's not, then why is it included in the recommendation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, we do have a cat bylaw which does prescribe the number of cats a person may have in a dwelling of certain sizes. And so, to be fair, this is capturing both. Those applications are very minor in terms of, since 2014, when that bylaw has come into effect, it's approximately two or three or four per year that are affected.
And there's a fee applied to them?
There has been a fee applied to those, so we're going to refund those. But you're right, they do not pay registration fee at this time.
Rightio. Councillor Crossan.
Thank you, Worship. So just to make it clear, you're talking about the people who, through this new system, we can proactively identify as owning more than the prescribed number. But what we're not doing is what about the people who have volunteered that information? They still have to pay the fee. It seems a bit strange that we would give the money back to people who kept quiet and didn't actually contact us. They get their money back, but the people who volunteered the information and complied with the bylaw, they still have to pay. What would the amount of people be if we said everybody gets their money back?
To clarify, I thought the report, this is just an amplified question, I thought the report was saying a refund to everyone who has paid since 1st July 2020. Mr. Balcombs?
The report does say that currently. However, through Councillor Blescu's question, I gave the information just then that would be since the date of the DACO system affecting us with a proactive approach to pursuing that application fee.
But you're referring to everyone who's paid, no matter whether they were caught or volunteered, so to speak.
Correct.
So the 240,
yeah.
Is everybody?
Is everybody from that date? Yes.
Thank you.
All right. After someone to move a motion, Councillor Blescu.
I'd like to move the motion, including the date from the 1st of July 2018. And I'd like to have, I guess, some reference, possibly two letters, if there's something a little bit different for people that have already paid. But I don't know if that needs to be incorporated in the motion.
Councillor, just as a just on a drafting point and the earlier discussion, if that paragraph three, right to affected dog or cat owners, really that's dog and cat owners, following on from that answer, if we put in brackets after that in a form approved by the Mayor and Chief Executive,
that's
be consistent with Mr. Dalton's answer. So please carry on.
Yeah, look, this one's sort of been happening under the radar. We weren't aware of it. And it wasn't something that was rigorously and consistently looked into. But it did pick up a bit of an anomaly, and it wasn't about us trying to get any extra money from people. I think we need to show people that, if you have more than one dog, you do need to ask us, depending on the size of the property, just so it's not an issue, but it'd be automatic. And there's no cost. And for people that have paid, regardless of whether it was us or them that initiated the payment, I think that we give the money back. And I think a fair time is when we started being proactive. Then going back further gets a little bit tricky. But I think in this case, this is the best way to go, just to show that, you know, we care about our community, the dogs and the dog owners, and their neighbours, of course.
And moved, is that seconded? Councillor Mason?
Yeah, I think sending a letter to two letters is definitely a very important thing. We've made quite a few residents unhappy, and I think by a good apology, I think that may go part way of resolving the issue, but also the refund as well. So I think it's very important we get the letter right in the communications.
Thank you. Yes, and you can take this as your speaking opportunity if you wish, Councillor Hull.
Yeah. Just a question, why 2018? Why do we have to go that far back when it was picking up less people because we didn't have the technology at the time? Other councils have been doing this. We're not alone in South Australia charging those fees, but I get it that maybe this year, or the ones that paid this year and objected, we probably should go along with this, but what 2009?
I think the figure was picked as the year was picked by Councillor Lescu, because as Mr. Delacourne said, that's when a new computer system effectively came into place and a huge ramping up of letters to people occurred since that time. Mr. Delacourne, can you add any more to that?
Sorry, I missed that. Could you say it again, please?
Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Chair. Nothing to add to that. You made the point succinctly.
Right. Councillor Hull, it's open for amendment if that's what you wish to do.
Yeah, it's just a secondary question. Is there any significant administrative cost for staff to put back that far, or is it easy?
Yeah, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you for the question. Through the Chair, this year is easy. To 2018 will be a challenge. Past that will be extremely difficult. Staff are, can speak to the Manager of Finance, confident that we'll be able to establish a process that doesn't affect staff resources and strikes the right balance between not affecting staff resources and pursuing this in a timely manner.
I have to get out the old spreadsheet. So, Councillor Hull, any more?
No.
Councillor Crossland.
I'd like to move an amendment.
Yes.
Back to the original wording, but with the changes to the draft letter that were previously agreed.
So, changing paragraph one, keeping paragraph three.
Correct. If I could speak to that.
Yes, please.
I can't see any reason to go back to 2018. But I just think it's fairly ironic that the there were three members sitting here around the horseshoe that had actually voted in this bylaw and now couldn't remember it existed. I didn't know it existed. It's been enforced legally, correctly, and ironically, it's only come to life because we funded extra community safety inspectors to be proactive, and because we weren't happy with the fact that they weren't being proactive in other cases separate to parking. Now they have been, we're telling them you've done the wrong thing, start giving the money back, and not just to this financial year, which is when we're actually can cut it off, but keep going further back, further back, further back. I think it's sending a terrible message to staff and residents. So I'd ask you to support the amendment. I think back to the financial year where we just zeroed the fee for everyone is fine.
Is that seconded, Councillor Primer?
Yeah, I agree with Councillor Costa. I think moving past that, 12 months sort of goes beyond what I think is reasonable. So I believe that we're on the right track.
The process with an amendment is after it's been moved and seconded to put the amendment forthwith. So I will ask if people adopt the proposal essentially for us to go back to refunds 1st of July this year as opposed to 2018. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. So the amended motion is now what's up for debate. Anyone can speak if they haven't yet spoken. Councillor Schilling.
Speak. Thank you, Your Worship. I'm probably one of the few councillors that did know the bylaw existed, because when I bought a dog, I did research on size of properties and whether we have more than one or two, et cetera, et cetera. So I knew that. But I think the issue has only arisen in this financial year. So backdating it to July this year, I think makes sense. I am not aware of any complaints from before 1 July this year, but I'm willing to stand corrected. But at this point, I'm happy to support the motion before the floor.
Anyone speaking against the amended motion who hasn't yet spoken? There being none, it may sound strange, but it goes back to Councillor Bilisku for a final word.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just had a question if administration are aware of complaints before July this year.
Yeah, that's a fair clarification. Mr. Delacombe.
To the Chair, I'm not aware of any before July.
Anything else, Councillor Bilisku?
Look, I think that this, the fact that there's not going to be a fee, that people at least recently are going to get their money back is something. I would prefer that we did actually refund everybody, to be fair, because you know then people that have paid in 30th of June this year will, or in the last financial year, will feel a bit dudded. But I'm not going to stand in the way of this, but I think the other option was the more community-minded approach. Thank you.
The motion as amended, that is refunds from 1st July this year, and we write to all of the affected dog and cat owners, raise your hand if you agree. That's now carried unanimously. Thank you. So we go on to page 133, the shopping trolley variation bylaw. As you can see, members, we had some feedback from the Legislative Review Committee. I beg your pardon? What have I done? 131. Oh, it must be a very little report. Yes. But of significance indeed. Planning reform action from the Urban Planning Committee. So the committee recommended to Council that we have a bit more of a push in terms of a media campaign to try and maintain the zoning which we fought so hard for and which was approved 2 years ago, but we are advised by staff is under threat from the state government changes to planning rules. Councillor Pryor.
Yes, very shortly, the move is written, thank you. Just in speaking to you on that topic, we did a heap of work across pretty much all the time while I was on council to get the right zoning in these areas. And to the credit of the staff and to the credit of the people involved, the state government approved that predominantly the Marion Plains area. It was a good zone, and we've had a real take up in our community of people who are developing in that zone. So why the state government would now roll that back to the previous zone in the new planning design code is completely beyond me. And we've tried the diplomatic approach through Mr. Harides and his team with liaisons with the state government, and it hasn't really got us anywhere, I don't think. And now it's time to ramp up again. We really need to make sure that the communities are aware that this is what's happening, and we need to make sure that the state government is aware of the ramifications if this zone does get rolled back. So it's going to look very, very bad for them, I believe. So.
That's right. And just to clarify Councillor Pryor's remarks there, this is limiting or maintaining our slightly more limited infill in the Marion Plains area, but it's also consistent with more development at Hallett Cove and a few other areas which Council thought was appropriate. And I'd also like to just add a fact before I go to the seconder, which we heard in the Urban Planning Committee meeting, that from year to year, given the more limited infill opportunities as prescribed by the zoning, we actually had an increased number of development applications, which did suggest that it wasn't slowing down development for those who are concerned about the economic development of the city. But presumably it's better development. Seconded Councillor Telfer. Anything to add? Anyone speaking against?
Just a question. Clarification question.
Yes.
I apologise if I'm wrong on this, Councillor Pryor, but my understanding is not only is the state government proposing to roll back, but they're actually going even further. So they're actually going to allow more development in that area than we previously had, that everyone hated and said it was too much. So it's going to be twice as bad. And the big takeaway for me from the Urban Planning Committee and hearing residents is that they still believe that all these changes are council initiated. And I don't know how we get that message across. I'm hoping we can finally try and say we're on the same page with the community. We've spent 3 years helping them out, and here we are again, everything's going back, and it might be even worse. So I just really think it is worth that investment in trying to get that message out loud and clear.
If that's your question, the answer is yes, you're correct.
is it correct, Lou?
It is correct.
Your answer to your question is correct.
Thank you, Worship. Look, I understand what this motion is trying to achieve, but I am concerned that we are going to spend ratepayers' money on a campaign that is not going to be successful. And then at the end of the day, we're fighting the big blokes, the state government, and $25,000, although it's not a huge amount in our budget, that's three drink fountains in a park or half of a native landscaping in another park. Stuff that will benefit the community. And I understand that planning impacts our community, but I think we're taking on a too big a task that we are not going to win, and we are wasting money that we could spend elsewhere.
Councillor Hull.
Speaking in favour, Mr. Mayor, I'm glad that there's people here tonight that are concerned about planning matters, because this demonstrates the good work that many of the councils have done over a long period of time, and the difficulty we had with both the previous Labor government with Minister Rao. Then we had the change of government and Stephen Kinnoll, who was even worse than in my opinion, than Mr. Rao, which was hard to believe. And now we've got Vicky Chapman. Hopefully a more experienced MP and minister will be more considerate about this very sensitive issue in our community. Because our home is our castle. And that's why there's a lot of people in the gallery tonight, because their home is their castle. And this demonstrates that this council is actually attempting to do something about the urban infill, where you could have the house next door knocked over and two or three units built, maybe two storey. And that's not what we want, where you get overshadowing, lack of privacy issues, lots of more cars in the street, all the things we're so familiar with. All the things that we know that keeps people awake at night in our communities. And literally sometimes. And I think $25,000 is nothing in terms of advocacy. I'm a great believer that local government should be a great advocate for their people. And if we don't actually stand up to the government at this particular point where they're considering it, they've delayed decision making and want more time, we need to let them know unequivocally what our position is. And if we can team up with the local government association or other councils, then we're going to have even greater power with the small amount of money, the $25,000 we're expecting. So I urge you to support this motion.
Anyone else speaking against? Then back to Councillor Pryor.
I think we've heard a few different points. I'm very happy for council to go toe-to-toe with the big boys on this one. Absolutely. I firmly believe that we're in the right. And I think that the right level of development in the right location is more important than $25,000. Like, and there's no doubt about that in my mind. So I think this is $25,000 well spent.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. Thank you. So
division.
A division is called by Councillor Bălescu, after quickly unmuting himself. Once again, I'll ask you please to raise your hand if you're in favour of the motion. Councillor Bălescu, Masika, Mason, Clancy, Pryor, Hull, Telfer, Duncan and Crossland. Those against, raise your hand. Councillors Hutchinson, and it's a delay in transmission, and Councillor Schilling. So the motion is carried by majority, thank you. We go on to the shopping trolley variation bylaw, page 133. Two aspects to this that I want to highlight. One is that the legislature, after we had a fairly severe serve from the Legislative Review Committee in relation to the cap bylaw, we've now been sent a pro forma form to send to the committee anytime we come up with a bylaw or variation to a bylaw in relation to the consultation process. So that is obviously a requirement that will be maintained into the future. The other aspect of it, clearly there was a wrong number put in the variation bylaw, but that's not a hanging offence. So the solution to it, if I say so myself, the solution to it is to go out for consultation again, even with such a minor change, to fix up the bylaw, but to make the wording of it accurate, it will need that to be changed, and therefore the further consultation. Hence the recommendation before you. And I'll give you that preamble because it's a bit complicated, but that's essentially what it's about. Councillor Bălescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. I was wondering if the meeting wished to suspend standing order so we can have a bit of discussion on this.
Yes, you can move that way, but could you just explain for us what you would hope from the flexible discussion?
I guess just if we're moving forward, you know, if there's any other changes that we'd like, maybe to anticipate any concerns that the committee may hold. That was all. But if members don't think it's appropriate, that's fine. I'm not really there and I can't see everyone's faces properly. So I don't know if they're smiling or rolling their eyes.
Motion to suspend standing orders to allow flexible discussion. Is that seconded? It's not seconded, so we'll carry on. And I'm looking for someone to move the motion. Councillor Bălescu, come back to you for that.
Thanks, Your Worship. I did send something through. I got something from administration earlier tonight. Effectively, it puts the start date at the 1st of March and allows a bit of a trial period, a phase-in period, where the preference would be to limit expiations until the 30th of June. So this allows the community to have a bit of a warning, but it also allows the retailers a bit more time to get through any teething problems they may have as part of the system. So that's what I was suggesting. If members are uncomfortable with both of those options, then at least extending the start date for another month, I think, would be prudent because it gives the retailers a bit of a breather after after the Christmas and New Year period. So, yes, and I think this is something we need to act on, but we also need to make sure we get it through, because it's an ongoing problem for people that are living near shopping centres. And unfortunately, there's a lot of disappointment at the current way that trolleys are picked up by their retailers. And also, I guess, you know, what the other members of the community are doing that aren't as considerate.
Very well, is the motion seconded? Councillor Hogg, you did have your hand up before. Do you want to second this version or not?
I'm looking forward to giving the people second cards and data cards.
Then I'll look around to someone else. Anyone wish to second the motion? Last call. Councillor
Masika. Yes, Your Worship. I'd like to second the motion based on what Councillor Valesco mentioned. And, I know the issue has been discussed for quite a while, and it's really good to see that we are coming towards the end of it and start implementing it by next year. And I would quite agree that probably we don't start issuing a participation note until it comes up to the 30th of June, that we've done enough education, and also give ample time for the retailers to the shop owners to understand the implication of this, and also to find out for mitigation and for how they can control the trolleys being taken away from the shopping centres.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Councillor
Hall?
For amendment? Yes.
Yeah, the amendment is the original printed motion.
Understood, yes.
And,
so,
and like I said, you know, for years people have been tormented by these shopping trolleys in their streets, and if we can do it a month earlier, why not? Particularly after that Christmas period when shopping trolleys would build up in numbers. I would bring this on tomorrow if I could, but to be fair to the Legislative Review Committee, they need that time, and there's no reason why we can't proceed with motions printed. And finally, after all these years, as councillors and aldermen that have passed on, that have sat around this table trying to do something about shopping trolleys, and here we are on the print, and bring it on, I say, and that's why I support the recommendation put forward by the staff.
So the amendment effectively would bring the bylaw in on 1st of February into operation, assuming it gets through the gauntlet of Parliament. Is that seconded, Councillor Crossland?
Yes, I'd like to second it. I don't see the reason for delay. I'm not keen on elected members telling staff whether they can issue a caution or not. I'd like them to have their own discretion, and I'm sure staff will make an appropriate decision at the time before issuing an expiation notice. But there will be occasions, I think, in that initial period where staff would want to issue a notice, maybe a second offender or second time offender. So I'm happy with the amendment, and I think it should be left to staff.
Very well. We deal with the amendment immediately. So those in favour of the 1st February start date, the amendment, please raise your hand. Those against the amendment. The amendment is carried. So we now have the amended motion, which in effect is what we have printed on the page as the recommendation. Anyone who hasn't spoken can speak to the amended motion. If there is no one, then Councillor Valesco, you get the last word again.
Just as well, it's not significantly different. Look, members, my only concern is that the retailers will exercise influence on the committee about their concerns, and that it may be too soon. So my motion was really just to make sure that it allows enough time for that. So hopefully I'm proven wrong and this gets through. This isn't a sticking point. And look, you know, I'd like trolleys to have already been picked up and cleaned up and people to be expiated when they're doing the wrong thing. So it was more about just the practicality and a bit of pragmatism. So yeah, members, I'm going to support this, and hopefully we can do something about the scourge in our streets.
Very well. Sounds like a media headline. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. Those in favour, please raise your hand. carried unanimously. Thank you. Page 146, City of Marion Public Health Planning Progress Report.
Could I move in block the next six items? Most of them.
You can, Councillor Telfer. I'll just list them because I want to give elected members ample opportunity to question any of these. The City of Marion Public Health Planning Progress Report, that does seem fairly straightforward. The streetscape update, so councillors will no doubt take an interest in the streets that are being worked on. There shouldn't be too many surprises there. The potential publicly initiated council boundary change is really just for noting. There's nothing we can do about it at the moment. It's not actually a proposal, but this refers to the very southern tip of Hallett Cove, where there is no direct road to Lonsdale, and yet it's part of the Onkaparinga Council. So that's something the developer may want to fix up. Work health and safety, finance report, question on notice register, they are routine items. I just want to put it out there. Does anyone have any questions about any of those, first of all? Councillor Hall?
Mr. Mayor, there's only one issue, and that's on the public health progress report. There's an alarming statistic in here that we probably should embed in the letter that we need to send, and that is draw their attention to the subject of mortality. Substantially higher rate of metropolitan substantially higher rate than the metropolitan Adelaide, which should be average, I guess, of infant deaths. City of Marion 4.3 per 1,000 live births compared to the Adelaide average of 2.6.
Have you got a page number?
Yeah, page 155.
Thank you.
That's an alarming statistic, and I think we should call for the attention of Dr. Lutz. Chris Leese should be embedded in that letter that would draw his attention to that statistic. It's not for us to investigate it or do anything about it at this point, but certainly if we are going to write to the Chief Public Health Officer, he should be made aware of that stat.
Certainly curious. Have Mr. Harris, have staff looked into that? Is there any sort of on the face of it, explanation why that would be? I mean, it is nearly double the infant mortality rate of the metro average.
Through the chair, I don't have any information at hand. Any further sort of questioning or?
Ms. Batt, might assist with that.
Hi, through the chair. Look, I don't have detailed information, but I do recall from when I looked at the data, the mortality rate was very high in two or three suburbs. So it's the suburbs with the lower socioeconomic status.
All right. Well, I don't want you to guess, but you don't have the suburbs there offhand.
I could have a good guess, but it would be a guess.
Let's not get into that. But
no.
Yes. Perhaps just an email briefing to elected members would be useful, just on an administrative front. And now, the question is, I'll just ask either Mr. Heredis or Ms. Thwaites, the suggestion by Councillor Hull, would it be better to be an amendment, or can staff just take that on administratively to highlight that particular statistic in the report?
Mr. Mayor, can I point something out? If the staff members are correct that it's actually down to two or three suburbs, that would mean the mean average in those suburbs would even be higher.
Yes,
because the rest of the suburbs will bring down the
understood, Councillor. So just seeking a way forward here.
You could move it with the following amendment. Like it could be moved into.
Well, what I'll ask is Councillor Telfer, who's moved the six motions on block, Councillor, would you be willing to accept an amendment to the public health planning report, an addition at the end of that sentence saying, just highlighting the infant mortality rate in some suburbs in the city of Marion.
Yes, I will.
All right. So, did we get a seconder? Councillor Blescu. And that's all right with you, Councillor? Yes. So, we've got a mover, we've got a seconder, we've had a question. Any other questions on any of those six items? Actually, the seconder hasn't spoken, have they?
No.
Sorry, Councillor Telford, had you said all you wanted to say? Yes. Councillor Blescu, do you wish to add anything?
Look, I'd like to thank the councillor for bringing up that issue in regards to infant mortality. It's quite startling. I guess I'd like to know what we could do within our gambit on issues like that and some of the others, just to really maximise what we can do in our sphere of influence. So that's really a question on that.
Yeah, we're a council that delivers, but we don't deliver babies. Mr. Ruiz, any thoughts?
Correct. The response would be to really, where these sorts of anomalies come up, just to advocate to the appropriate lead agencies so that they are aware of the issue.
I think it's fair to say that elected members would like to hear more about it.
Yeah. So we'll wait for a briefing.
Thank you. Great. If there aren't any other questions, I'll put the motion. Councillor.
Excuse the mayor for taking him back.
That's all right.
Not only about mortality, if you look up chronic diseases and mental health, it's also a big issue because we're higher than average metropolitan. The first top four, chronic, higher prevalence of prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, melanoma, and lymphoma, male. Higher prevalence of breast cancer, and lung cancer, and female. And the chronic obstructive, so everything is higher for Marion, which we need to find out where and why and how these things can be contained because it's above average compared to the other metropolitan.
So, Mr. Ruiz, you've made a note to give us a briefing on the infant mortality data in a bit more detail. Could those other areas where we have more concerning figures than the metro average be subject of a briefing as well?
Yes.
Thank you. Good point, Councillor Masika.
Can I make a point there?
Councillor Schilling.
I understand where Councillor Masika is coming from, but unfortunately, with chronic disease, there's not much we can do. It's either genetic or it's diet related, it's health related. There's nothing we can do to stop it. And I don't really want to see staff wasting time on getting information that we can't actually do anything about anyway.
Can I say something there?
It's not a back and forth debate, but hang on, I'll come back to you in a second. Most of this report concerns matters which are state government matters, not local government matters. We can have extremely limited impact on these issues, but it is state government that says, we want you to report back, that is, you, local government, to report back to state government on your health plan, and our health plan then relies on state government figures or federal government figures to report back to state government. So it's a curious process in terms of the policy of how people's health is cared for. But nonetheless, if elected members have concerns, we're not talking about a thesis, but some more information, at least about the source information about
these have been raised as questions by email before the meeting and not on the floor this evening.
That is a good point in terms of process, but let's let it go. Let's see what staff come back with. That may lead to more questions. We'll just see where it takes us. But I take your objection. Now, Councillor Masika, it's not really a back and forth debate, but I'll give you a very quick response.
Thanks, Your Worship. I want to say, look, what I see from here is related to the social determinant of health, which is something can be addressed between the state and the local government to deal with that. So I'll appreciate to get up the feedback in detail and we can see whether it's due to that disadvantaged or marginalized section of the society where these pockets are, and then we can take it very much.
All right, I think that's what we're doing anyway. Good. Did anyone have any questions about any of the other items there? People are happy about streetscapes, people are happy about boundary business, which hasn't happened yet. All right, I think I can just put the motion. All those in favour for those six items? That's carried unanimously, thank you. So now we can move on to, we note the question with notice, which, and as Councillor Schilling points out, much better if the questions are asked with notice. Staff can prepare detailed responses available for us on the night instead of anything else. That concerning LGA membership and the alleged value, etc. We have a motion without notice, and then the only other matter without, or before we get into confidential items, I do want to deal with a request for leave of absence. But now, in relation to a motion without notice, obviously you do have notice of it because an email was sent around several days ago, but it is considered without notice because it doesn't have the statutory minimum notice before this general council meeting. So if that can be, yes, that's the motion that I've drafted that's on the screen there. Councillor Telfer, you've indicated you'd like to move that. Go yes, ahead.
I'll just reiterate that I have a perceived conflict of interest that doesn't keep me out of the room.
Very well, a perceived conflict of interest because of your CAP membership. Is it?
Merely on the CAP membership, not part of this hearing here.
That's right. And Councillor Schilling has left the room having declared conflict of interest because he was a member of the CAP which made the relevant decision. So all of that needs to be noted. Councillor Chapman, to move.
I would like to move as written there. It is what was circulated plus the development assessment number has been inserted. So Council, it suggests that it says Council vigorously defend any appeal against the Council Assessment Panel refusal of the Integrated Service Station development proposal for the corner of Diagonal Road and Miller Street, Sturt, and the DA number in the Environment, Resources and Development Court, and that no compromise approval of that development be granted under delegation to staff without approval by the City of Marion. So it was quite a landmark, in speaking to that, it was quite a landmark that CAP have supported the community and their refusal. And the Development Council Assessment Panel had plenty of reasons. Their reasons were the objectives of its assent that it was inconsistent with the centre providing a range of facilities. It was not a centre, was inconsistent with a centre accommodating residential development. It was inconsistent with the development that contributes to the designed character of the zone. Also, in the principles, they found the development shouldn't be undertaken because of inconsistency to desired character. And there were many other reasons given that the whole positioning, the way the pedestrian movement across the actual street and traffic difficulties were acknowledged. The inconsistency of having the dog washers and car washers and things so close to residents, that's always been an issue. So we really want to support that this has been refused by CAP. It's going to the ERD court. When they look at this, we want it clear that this is not where the community wants an integrated service station.
Thank you for that summary of the CAP decision. Councillor Hull, a second.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I welcome Councillor Telfer's support this time around. It's really encouraging.
Order. That is out of order. You will please apologise for the reflection on Councillor Telfer. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble.
Well, if there was any ill feeling gained by that, I apologise.
All right. Carry on.
I think that this is really important, and I'm going to ask a couple of questions. In terms of, well, first of all, has there been listing for the OD court for the appeal?
Council's been informed that the developer intends to appeal, but it does not appear to have been lodged yet.
Okay. When and if the OD court sits, who are we going to send along? Will we be sending staff that wrote the original report, or are we going to send, say, the manager of the department along with our legal representation? Is that...
Well, I tend to think that's getting too much into the operational area.
I'm just a bit concerned that if we send the staff that wrote the original report, they could be fair game for the other side to actually, point out that, you wrote the original report supporting the proposal, and it would be awkward. That's what I'm getting
at. All right, we've got about half your time left, but perhaps we should intervene at this point and take that as a question and have Mr. Haridis or Mr. Delacombe's answer, not only ask the question, but also provide any commentary staff wish to give on the motion.
Through the chair, thank you. With regard to your question specifically, that staff member is one position with another council, so we would be able to have them sit or represent or be present at any hearing moving forward, so that would be a possibility.
Okay.
Any other commentary?
No other commentary.
Ben, please continue, Councillor Hull.
Okay. Look, this is very pleasing, and I commend you, Mr. Mayor, for putting this suggestion forward. Because it is needed. We don't want to have the possible scenario where the CAP reconvenes. It happened to me once with another proposal, and I found myself joined as a party going to the AFD court up against the office lawyer and the council lawyer. And I've actually experienced this, so I welcome this because of my past experiences. In terms of vigorously defending, I think we need to make it clear that we do want it vigorously defended, and we actually engage appropriate legal help to actually ensure that we actually get the CAP decision supported. Because let me assure you, Andrash will certainly have considerable legal firepower at that hearing, I'm sure of it. So we need to match that. We need to actually give it the residents their best shot and the CAP their best shot to actually resist this proposal. For all the reasons described by Councillor Telfer, if I can refer to Councillor Telfer again, because she explained the reasons why the CAP refused it. There were some wonderful contributions of the CAP by different people that pointed that out. The CAP took that on board, and it really was rewarding to see that the CAP can actually listen and reflect community concern.
Thank you. Now, upon reflection, I feel I must point out a procedural matter to elected members. It's not just the mayor, but any elected member can not only take a point of order if there's an unfair reflection by a member on another during debate, but a member can actually call out a behavioural breach. And if that occurs, then the risk of the member being excluded from the meeting arises. So we've just had a recent discussion, I know, about that sort of process, and it's not just up to the mayor to police these things, but other members can take that action if they wish. So anyway, we've moved on from the moment, but let that be a cautionary note for Councillor Hull in particular. Speaking against the motion, Councillor Crossley.
I'm going to move an amendment, but I want some advice as to whether it would be accepted. But if it isn't accepted, I'm happy to wait as a shadow motion. But I'd like to amend the motion but remove point one. And I'll explain the reason why if I'm allowed to.
Now, what we have to consider, and I'll ask for the Acting Government's Manager's advice on this, whether it is a direct contradiction. I think it is. I think the appropriate thing would probably be to argue against this motion, but if in favour of the second clause, to then move that as a subsequent motion if the first one is defeated. But I'll ask the, because there are two separate strands, you see, and to take one away is really directly contradicting one of the two legs. But Ms. Thwaites, your view?
From a process point of view, it's probably easier to see if this one's successful or not, and then move the subsequent motion if this one fails.
Okay, in that case, I'll use my speaking right now, and as it can be taken as the reason for the foreshadowed motion.
Yes.
Members, look, I'm really concerned regarding this motion, mainly the first point. I have no problem with the second point. First of all, the cap. You heard at the beginning that the comment was made, cap supports the community's opinion. That is completely false. The CAP is an independent panel. They made their decision based on factual information. They did not base it on community opinion. Councillor Telford read out a list of the reasons why they made their decision. I didn't hear because we want to support residents. The ERD court is an independent court. I am really concerned about council influencing the way in which we represent ourselves in court. Councillor Hall brought up the fact, can we not send witnesses that are in agreement with the development? I just think that is fraught. We're sort of interfering with the witnesses that the court may wish to hear from. That is a really bad idea. I think as a council, we remain independent. If the development doesn't fit the development plan, then the ERD court has some very clever people that will determine that. I think we send our representation, and as per we had at the original council hearing, where council does not force a position one way or another, is the most appropriate way of dealing with this. And whether it wins or loses, council remains independent and we're not compromising the cap. So that's my concerns. If we've got faith in the justice system at the ERD court, let's please not try and interfere with justice and try and influence the way we're going to represent ourselves or direct staff as to how they have to answer questions, because they have to answer truthfully, is the honest answer.
Well, there are a couple of really important questions that arise from that. And I said, unless you want to take the questions, Mr. Haridis, I'd suggest Mr. Delacombs might be the appropriate person. It's up to you. So, Mr. Delacombs, first of all, can you please confirm the fact that the assessment panel did not base its decision in any way on community opinion?
Thank you for the question. Through the chair, the panel considered the application in respect of the development plan and the development act. And in this case, being category two development before the community affected within the 50 metre radius to put forward any submissions that they had against the proposal or for it, and then a chance, an opportunity to speak to that in planning terms. And the CAP in its hearing heard from many residents. And particularly those with reference to the aspects of the development plan that the proposal did not meet. So the panel would have heard all the community's concerns that they raised and paid particular attention in their judgment on those raised in respect of the concerns against the proposals and the development plan.
Okay.
Order. You will not interrupt the meeting, Councillor Hull, or you had one warning. This is number two. Next time, there may be a motion for you to be excluded from the meeting. Order. You will, no, you're speaking over the chair. That's unacceptable. You can give an account of yourself. You have a right to a personal explanation.
Well, Mr. Mayor, it's a sort of saying here. Like, it's quite acceptable in a modern democratic process to actually agree with something that's been said. That's all good.
All right, that's your explanation. I'd ask you to leave the room, please, while we deal with the matter. Mr. Waits, could you refer to any relevant standing order that might have been breached? Or meeting procedure?
So this would be originally in relation to Regulation 29, where we cannot behave in proper or disorderly manner or cause interruption or interrupt another member while speaking.
Does that include the chair?
Yes, it would include the meeting.
Right. Well, members, it's up to you if anyone wishes to move to exclude, you can, otherwise we can. Councillor Hutchinson? I should
move to exclude.
You have a couple of options. One is to censure the member, the other is to exclude the member from the meeting for a period or for the rest of the meeting. Would you like to clarify?
Removing for the rest of the meeting.
Very well. Is that seconded? Councillor Clancy? Any further debate? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. I'll ask for those hands again. Ms. Waits, can you assist? All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is carried. So, staff advice, Councillor Hull, you may want to collect his gear, but he'll be excluded from the remainder of the meeting. Mr. Del, oh, anyone but Mr. Del Ferns.
Yeah.
Because we were dealing with questions arising from Councillor Crossland's contribution. Mr. Del Ferns, the other question that arises, is it common or is it not for a council to take an advocacy role in the ERD court in respect of CAP decision?
Could you rephrase the question, Mr. Chair?
Is it common or is it not common for council to take an advocacy role in support of a CAP decision in the ERD court?
Do you have any?
No, I don't have significant experience to draw on to make a provider.
I mean, I do, but I don't want to be the one to answer the question.
It would be my opinion that councillors would be defending their matters in court to the best of their abilities, to the matter of the law at hand.
I think that is what happens. But Councillor Crossland, clarification?
Just to clarify both those answers. So the first answer, I didn't hear that they used residents' opinions to make their judgment. All I heard was they heard the account of residents, and I've served on the DAP, so I know how it works. You hear the witnesses. Prior to going into that meeting, you've already highlighted any breaches that you feel that has had. You listen to the residents, see if there's any other breaches, but it doesn't include, and you'll hear a lot of emotion, that can't affect your judgment of whether something passes or fails.
Well, Councillor Crossland.
It's literally on whether it meets the planning code.
You've expressed that very eloquently. I understood that's what Mr. Delacourt was saying.
Unfortunately, he's not here, but Councillor Hall believed the answer was, yes, we did base our judgment on emotion.
Well, I thought Mr. Delacombe's confirmed your understanding of what happened.
I just want to clarify.
Mr. Delacombe, can you be clearer, please?
Thank you. So that was the one point. The second point, and maybe I can rephrase your question to Mr. Delacombe, but when staff go to the ERD court, and I'm trying not to put words into your mouth, they have a report. Is it common for them to pursue the case in accordance with their original report, or is it sometimes prevalent that they will change their view and do the exact opposite to the original recommendation? I'm trying to work out how that works, and I don't want council to be an influencing factor in that as well.
And that's a very important question for Mr. Delacombe to answer. I might just help if in his answer, Mr. Delacombe distinguishes between the factual reports and the outcome for which council is advocating, because there are two different things. There's the argument, the outcome sought, and there's the evidence. So if there's a council report or a traffic report that says this or that, the professional view is not going to change, but it's a question of the outcome.
I suppose is what I'm, to simplify it, is if a car drove past and a member of staff caught the speed on a radar gun and it was 60 kilometres an hour and it was a 50 zone, would council say, well, that person who's got evidence, let's leave them in the office, or send someone else who says, I have no evidence, Your Honour? Is that what we're doing?
Well, it can't really happen like that, but Mr. Delacombe, please clarify.
Thank you, through the Chair. Perhaps if I can explain it, if we use this example as a way of explaining the process, if the staff member has originally recommended approval for this particular development, and the council assessment panel has made a decision, that decision did not sit with staff to make, it was a recommendation to the panel for their decision. Now, the decision stands, and that is a decision that if is being appealed. If we went to court on this decision that the cap is made and staff were asked to give evidence on their report, it would be a factual and procedural account of how that staff member determined the parts of the report against the development plan that they assessed. They would be asked to matters of opinion. It would just be a factual account of how they've come to their conclusions, as the Mayor said, in their professional opinion. Council's role in defending the court appeal would be to find an independent planning expert witness to take on the role of defending the CAPS decision and for the reasons given in their refusal. Is that all clear?
It does, Your Worship.
Yes, no, it's a very important point, so please continue.
One more question then. So, I've heard the explanation given, but point one, that's what concerns me. Point one, how is that going to influence you in the process you're going to adopt? Is it going to be the same process that you adopt with the attending court cases, or is this going to, in some way, influence the way staff provide evidence?
Thank you for the question through the Chair. I think I'll do to the best of our abilities in terms of defending the decision with the intent that is meant by the motion.
Perhaps so, I could, let me amplify that it's perhaps a good question for staff. What does staff understand by vigorously defending any appeal against the CAP refusal, this development, in terms of the evidence that staff would have in staff documents at present, in terms of what the lawyer's approach would be, that is, council-appointed lawyers, and the arguments they might put. Can you take us through that step by step about what does staff think it means to vigorously defend any appeal against the CAP refusal?
Thank you, through the Chair. I would find a willing law firm to take on the case. And seek their instruction as to the amount of witnesses in the different areas that we might be able to provide, and ensure the council was very well represented in the terms and the amount of expert witnesses that they chose to bring in order to defend each components of the decision the CAP were to make.
Does that help, Councillor Crossan?
It goes some way to help, yes, your worship.
All right, perhaps we'll see if others...
If it may help, through the chair, we had a recent other meeting where there was a question of whether to vigorously defend or not vigorously defend something in that manner of context speaking, and I think the mood of the chamber was that it would be one lawyer, not four, and I think in this instance that would be reversed, and I think the breadth and depth of experience that we would be seeking would be greater than those words not being in there.
Yeah, I mean, I supported the previous motion, which was council to just be remain neutral, which I always think is a good position for council in legal cases to be, if it's not involving an actual council.
So I think Councillor Crossan, we've given you a fair say.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Blesky.
Yeah, thank you. Look, I think we do need to distinguish between how a decision in a development issue is refused, and it is based on the development issues. And I think it's not helpful when it's clouded by, you know, the people objecting to it outside of that. Now, those objections are legitimate, I understand, but unfortunately what changes the rules, what changes the outcome, is better wording, are the actual guidelines. And this decision is based on the guidelines, the interpretation, the information that was brought from the community, which was actually looking at those guidelines. So I think it's not helpful when that other discussion happens. And I hope that we can defend it on those guidelines. I wouldn't want us to sort of sit back and go, well, you know, let's not do anything. So I think it's important that we articulate that position. And we're sending a message to the community that, you know, we think that it's important that where we do get a win on the guidelines, that we do defend it, because the opportunities are actually quite rare. But we have limited scope. So we may as well act on it where we can.
Anyone else speaking against the motion? Then I'll just go back to Councillor Telfer to close the debate.
In the Earn Court, Andrash will vigorously push their case, and they will raise positions for conciliation that suit the development they want. So it's not so unreasonable in this situation for council to vigorously defend a position that has been heard in the community by an unbiased group of people. And we look forward to this assessment, Earn Court discussion, where the refusal of the integrated service station will be taken forward, and that there won't be a total compromise of clauses and conditions, but there'll be a position taken.
All right, all those in favour, please raise your hand. Those against, please raise your hand. The motion is carried. Thank you. And thank you, members of the public, for attending. We'll move on to a request from Councillor Gard for leave of absence. We don't have to go into details, but I think people will appreciate the request. Would someone like to move that way? Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Duncan. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we turn back to the confidential items, beginning on page 40. Councillor Schilling may want to come into the room.
Which one's the first
one? So first one's Edwards Town and Torrington Precinct. So sorry, just before we close the door, on page 40 is the cover report. In fact, we could move, probably there are, I could say, clearly confidential matters in these reports. Would someone like to move all of the confidential cover reports on block? Move Councillor Mason, second Councillor Pryor. Any debate? All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried unanimously. Right. So we will go into confidence. Thank you.